Morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here. It's been since March the last time I was here. And so we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. If it wouldn't have been for him, we would have all three possibly been killed, at least one or two. But the Lord, according to Molly, he, so to speak, took his put his hands on the wheel and steered that car every way he wanted it to go, and then let it flip for about two times. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it could have just rolled on out and stopped. But my brother and I, neither one can figure out why the car flipped like it did. He went to the accident site and looked. I didn't feel like studying it out when we were there, so I didn't do a lot of looking. But for some reason, we went end over end like this, not like that. The wife was shook up. I didn't know anything till we stopped, landed on the top, and then I come to and trying to figure out what was going on. And so we were kind of hanging upside down our seat belts, so I went to getting us out of that. Paige done beat me to it. She got out for anybody somehow. I don't know how she done that. But anyway, if you all have prayed for us, we appreciate that. We've needed a lot of prayer. I'm doing pretty good. Molly's still improving, and Paige is ahead of both of us. So thank the Lord for his goodness. We have a lot to thank him for. There's our prayer this morning. As we look into the Word of the Lord, we want to deal on the subject of Thanksgiving, and I want to read something to us here about basically the first Thanksgiving, and I want to tie it into you and I. Say, well, Brother Carl, that's been a long time ago. It has. But you and I need to be thankful. We need to be very thankful. And it says here, the first one wasn't all peace, love, and pass the gravy. While the settlers at Plymouth and their allies from the Wampanoag tribe really did get together in 1621 for a table and groaning, three-day feast to celebrate the settler's first harvest, that far from the whole story. Elementary school, most of us probably learned the English religious exiles began establishing civilization in what they call the New World, winning over the local Indian people, already living there with promise of friendship. Then the Native Americans taught the new arrivals how to grow crops to sustain their growing society, and everybody lived happily ever after. Well, not quite. Now then, what I'm thinking about today is we come over here. The Native Americans were already here. They started helping the white man, and actually they done a lot for us. And they had the first Thanksgiving, but as time went on, what happened? The white man turned on the Native American. They treated them like dirt. They killed them. They slaughtered them. They starved them. They'd done various things to them that should have never been done. All right, now then, the Lord come down here to make a plan of salvation. He hold the field perfect. He done everything that needed to be done. And what did my white man do to him? He done everything he could do to trip him and trap him, hurt him. And then they killed him. Now then, how do we treat him today? When he come along to the first one of you, how did you treat the Lord? And you, oh man, I'm going to get saved right now. I dare say none of us in there did that. Unless you maybe were very young. I didn't. And I was about 18, but the Lord dealt with me and worked with me from sometime in the fall. Well, no, really started back, I guess, in the summer. And I went to first service in 1971 at Guthrie Camp Meeting. And it started after that, and then I got saved at the end of October. But the bottom line, I didn't just jump right into this thing. I didn't say, thank you, Lord, for coming to me and working with me. But folks, today, man is treating the Lord bad. Terribly. Use his name in vain. They're not thankful for him. They don't, like Brother Leslie used to say, they're like a bunch of pigs in a pen. They're down there eating the kernels and the acorns and stuff. Said they never look up to think about where it all come from. People are not paying no attention to God. They don't know anything about God, in a sense. Our society has moved so far to the left that we're way, way off base. But today, you and I, we ought to be thankful. How thankful are we this morning? Let's go to 1 Timothy, please. We'll start there. I have a burden, a direct burden, that I work towards. It said 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office, no, Carl, it's 2 Timothy 3:1. 2 Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, hard times, bad times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and what? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They're going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now it said here that in the second verse it said unthankful. There is a lot of people today that is unthankful. They're not thankful as they ought to be. The bottom line, we have what we have. In everything we have, where do we get it from? It all comes from God. He's given us everything from the life of this body. From being born, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, created. And the bottom line was, from that point to where you're at today, everything we've got basically come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but I worked hard. The Lord give it to you. Every dollar you got in the bank, everything in your house, every car you drive, is all come from God. So we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? How much do we thank Him? How often do we thank Him? So Mark 8:6, it says here, Jesus here, there's great multitude there, and they are fixing something to eat, so to speak. And Jesus said, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took 7 loaves, gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to eat, to set before them, and they did set them before the people. Then John 11:41, Jesus was thankful. Even though he was the man, so to speak, he still offered thanks to God. 11:41 deal with the situation of Lazarus and him resurrecting his body. In the 41st verse, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Oh, today, this was an act of not only thanksgiving, but it was a real time of faith of God, Christ, so to speak. When he said there, he said, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. All right, now then, let's go to Luke 17:11. Luke 17:11, and we'll read this a little bit here. This is the 10 lepers, or 9 lepers, no, 10 lepers, because it was, that come to Christ. 17:12-11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go, shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They are not found that return, give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. Now listen, folks, today, leprosy then was a bad thing. It's more, I guess they can do things with it today, but they couldn't do anything with it. The only one that could heal it back there was Christ, our God. And so consequently, them men was in trouble. They no doubt had heard about Christ. They saw him. They come running, so to speak. He touched and healed every one of them, so to speak. He delivered them. Listen, folks, today sin is something you and I can't conquer by ourselves. We have to have the blood of Jesus to wash us, redeem us, lift us up and out, set our feet on a solid rock, put a praise in our mouth, and do something that nobody else can do. It's Jesus Christ. Listen, sin is horrible. It's a kinship, so to speak, to leprosy, because it destroys. Leprosy eat off the fingers, I believe, could eat off the toes. It does things to the body. And it was a horrible disease, and even killing people. They put them in leper colonies to keep them away from the people. Today, sin is that bad or worse. And the bottom line, it not only damages the body, it damages the heart, it damages the mind, it damages you in every way that it can. Sin's even worse than leprosy, and the only one that can take care of it is Jesus Christ. Now then, Lord, help us to be thankful for what he's done. For the life that he's lived and the things that he's done for you and I. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 4. 1 Timothy 4 and 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now then, usually, most people that have any type of dealings with Christ, I'm talking about religious people now, most of them say, thank the Lord for the food. They bow their heads and they ask and tell the Lord, thank you. Oh, today, every steak I've eaten, every piece of chicken I've eaten has all been given to me by God. And it's good. And Lord, help you and I. We shouldn't just be thanking God one day a week. I mean, one day a year, we ought to be thanking him every day of the year, because we owe him every day, not just one day. If he didn't allow us to have breath in our bodies, where would we be? People have been kind enough to say, well, we're thankful that that didn't kill you. Well, thank the Lord. But it could have. Our lives were in his hands in that car. He was steering that car. Molly watched what it did. When I was leaving the highway at 75 miles an hour, the speed limit, and I was headed right for a guardrail. Right at the end of that guardrail, if I'd hit that thing, it drove that motor back and probably killed her and I both right away. But the Lord just moved it to the right. We sailed by that. There were big pillars holding up an overpass above us. And we again was headed to that. It would have probably killed all three of us that time. But the Lord moved it to the right. I didn't do a thing, folks. I was totally out. I didn't know what was going on. And we sailed out under there. Again, what caused us to flip? We would have been fine if we hadn't started flipping. That's what tore everything up. How? I don't know. But again, it was gone. God had his hand on the whole situation. Our very life and breath is in the hand of God every second of the day. Amen? It is. And we need to be so thankful from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. I'm up and down through the night. And I'm thanking God right along through the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, today we cannot thank him enough for everything he's done for us. He's a great God. The very fact that he comes down and spends time in our assemblies with us on Sundays is a great blessing. If we didn't have him, we don't have no educated preachers. Somebody sent me a deal the other day of a supposedly Church of God, And so Molly turned it, well, I showed her where it was at, and we turned it on, and I looked at a little bit of it, but they got to singing that. Well, these pianos over here in the corner, and they were playing that, and they were singing some, and I listened to singing. I thought, our special far exceeds that. Our singing far exceeds that. And the prayer quest, I wasn't impressed with the prayer, not the prayer quest, but the prayer. I wasn't impressed with that neither. And then it got down to the preacher. He got up in the pulpit, and I thought, we far exceed all they do. It's God. It's God. It's not you and I. You can take every preacher we got and put us all together in one meeting like Monarch, but if we don't have Jesus there, we don't have anything. The Lord is what makes our meetings what it is. It's His anointing and His power, His love, His mercy, His very presence. I've been in places where the presence of God was so real in meetings. I never forget the time we went and prayed for Brother Phillips' child. Just a little thing, very sick. And they called us as pastor at that time at Guthrie. And we went in there and we talked and visited and a little bit and looked at the baby, and they told us out what was happening and so forth. And then they took it out and we laid it on the floor. And we all four knelt down, and the presence of God entered that room. It was so powerful. All of us knew the Lord was there. We prayed. Somebody prayed a humble prayer. When we got through, Rebecca and I got up very quietly. I don't think we even said goodbye. And we eased out the door. The presence of God was there. He healed that child instantly. He's done it over and over in our midst. We've been many times, people have come down to these altars, and the Lord has touched them right there at that altar. I've seen it. Been a partaker of it, so to speak. It's been the power of God and His blessings and His presence that has made us what we are. We need to thank Him. I appreciate Brother Bob's prayer this morning. I got news for you. It's far better than the one I listened to the other night. Far better. I appreciate it. Listen today. We need to thank the Lord for salvation. We need to thank Him for His love, His forgiveness, His salvation, His sanctification, His mercy, grace, blessings, help, pity, compassion, goodness, and strength. A lot of times I go down, many times in the morning when I start my praying, I thank the Lord for things just like this, saying, Lord, I thank You for forgiving me. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your pity and Your salvation and Your sanctification. Lord, I thank You for everything. Because if it wouldn't be for You, I wouldn't be here. I'd be out in the quagmires of sin. I might not even be alive. I could be out in a grave somewhere. But the Lord had mercy. He's given us food. He's given us things to eat and things to do. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith, and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. How much do we appreciate the church of God? I've been in meetings, tent meetings in particular, back years ago. I hadn't anything lately. The number of years ago, and I've had people that have come, have heard about it and come, and they come to the services there, and then they let us know, this is what we've been looking for. I appreciate what I see. I appreciate what I hear. I'm not saying everything they said. But the bottom line, they let us know. I'm talking about the other ministers and the other people, not just me. They let us know that they appreciate it. How much do we appreciate one another? How much do we thank one another? Are we as thankful with one another? How often do you tell Brother Gary, I appreciate what you do around here? How often do you thank Brother Bob for being the pastor? I appreciate the messages you preach, Pastor. I went to LaRonja one time many years ago. Brother Ed was pastor then. And I can't tell you what I preached. But I got on something like this. I was talking about appreciating and so forth, and let it be known. Well, anyway, I don't know what all they said to him going out the door, but he told me later, he said, I'll be glad you preach that about every 6 months. They was opening up and telling, we appreciate it. Listen, folks, today we are the people of God. We are what we are because of God, and we need to thank one another. We need to thank the Lord, and we need to thank one another and be appreciative of what we've got. The blessings we've got. We've got liberty and freedom. We've got power. We've got authority. We've got what the others don't have, praise God. They don't take 10% out of my check. Well, I guess they could, Social Security, but they don't do those kind of things. It's a free will offering. The things that the Lord does and have done for you and I is great things. And we need to say thank you, Lord, and thank you one another. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Commas on both sides of the brother. And it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Lord, help our charity to abound one to another. Help us to be very, very appreciative of one another, saying thank you along. I go in the mall at Shawnee once in a while. I don't go there much. Anymore, I don't go a lot of places much. But I go there and I see this woman usually pushing one of these cart deals. It's got brooms and all in it. And she's sweeping and she's cleaning and she's doing things. And you know what I like to tell them? I thank you for what you're doing. Because you're a blessing to us. I got 40 years, I guess, in the professional janitorial service. And it's a very thankless job. I've had people thank me for what I did. I have. And I'm not saying I've never had, because I have. But the bottom line is, today, we need to thank one another for what we have in the church of God. But it's nice to thank other people for what they do too. I've denied my age for several years, but I'm coming to the conclusion I'm 71. I might as well admit it. I went to go into a store here. We was going down to Shreveport for service. And walked up to the door, and there was a young lady over here, and she opened the door for me. And so I waved her on in. I think she went ahead and went in, and I followed her, and I said, well, I said, my mother was a Southern mother, and I said, she taught me that lady first. She said, my mother was whatever. And she said, she taught me that elders were first. Woo! Ain't hiding any more gray head. You might as well admit you're there. But the bottom line is, we can thank one another. We can thank other people. How about the wife? How about the husband? How about the children? Do we thank them for what they do? The wife, the food she cooks, whatever the husband do to make the money or whatever, are we appreciative of that? Thank that. You write a check out that the husband put the hundreds of dollars in the bank to pay that bill or to do something. Thank you. Thank you, husband. I appreciate that. I appreciate what you do. All right, let's move a little further. Let's go to Colossians, the second chapter and the sixth verse. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. I said here, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Rooted, built up in, established in the faith that you have been taught, abounding. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding. Lord, help us to be abounding with thanksgiving. Every day. Maybe all through the day. All right, now then, I'm down to where I want to get. Let's go to 5 and 20 of the good book of Ephesians. It said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First Thessalonians 5 and 18, it says, and everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now then, when the Lord saves us, he doesn't just save us to sit back on our laurels and not ever do anything. He's going to, the people that deepen down and the people that are reaching out after God and so forth, he will use them in one capacity or another. Some, maybe a gift of helps. Brother Salmon said he had the gift of helps before he had the gift of preaching. He said, I love to see a preacher's car come by with bald tires and I'd buy him a new set or a new pair, whatever he needed. And different things. So, Lord, help us that we are, well, the Lord has, I don't want to say this, the Lord is doing everything he can to deepen us down. He wants to make us perfect. He wants to strengthen, establish, and settle you. He's got a reason for doing what he's doing. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. Some of us more than others. Seem like the older we get, the harder it gets sometimes. But the bottom line is the Lord is working still to make the saint out of you that he wants to make. To use you in the way he wants to help others to see him. He is out to do things for the unsaved. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Everything. Now what all does that mean, Brother Carl? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, what that is saying is everything that touches us is because of the Lord. He's using these things to help us. He's using these things. And so consequently, he wants us to do what? In everything, give thanks. Everything. All right, now then, I want to ask us some questions here. How many of you has ever been through a heartbreak? And what I mean by that is, of course, all of us is, well, not everyone married in here has been. But the bottom line is, When a lot of times young people get together, sometimes it don't always go the way they think it's going to go, and somebody ends up with a broken heart. And there's pain and so forth. Can we thank the Lord for something like that? The Lord is working now. He's establishing us, settling us. He's doing everything he can to help us. Listen, the more things we go through, the more experience we get in dealing with this thing, the more you can help another person. You can help them. You can talk to them on the phone. You can talk to them in person. You can be there. You can be... Somebody called me the other day and we were talking and he told me something and I said, I can have pity and compassion on that. I can have pity and compassion. I'm going to tell you what it was about. But I can have pity and compassion. Why? Because I've been through enough now that when I look at the situation, I say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, bless. Oh, today... These things are sent our way, heartbreaks. They're sent our way to help us to know. I've seen people that went through heartbreak. And not only that, well, the Lord told me. He told me he was going to take Rebecca. About 2 weeks later, he told me, he said, the rest of your ministry is going to be dealing with grief. It's going to be involved with grief. I send cards. I make phone calls. I text messages. I may go see them. I do what I can do to help them. Because of pain, especially when you lose a companion, is horrible. And they need all the compassion and pity they can get. And you that's never gone through it, you can still do what you can do. You can still send a card. You can send a text. Listen, folks, today, we need to bind together and be there for one another when we're going through these hard places. Sickness. I've been thinking, Molly Ann, what I've been through for about over a year and a half. And I'm thinking, Carl, have you been as thankful to the Lord for what He's allowed you or put you through? It's been one thing right after another. One brother wrote the other day a text back to me, and he said, you've been through some, I think he said some rough things or tough things. I'd say it has. And I'm going to have to admit, maybe I wasn't as thankful as I should have been. Because I wasn't looking at it right. I was looking at poor old me. You know, I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm used to being sick, get well, and get up and go again. This time it's been one thing after another, and I'm knocked out of service for weeks at a time sometimes. Can't preach, can't even go to meetings. And it's been tough on me, I'll have to admit. But I've been thinking, Carl, are you thankful enough for what He's trying to do for you? He's got a goal in mind. He's wanting to establish or enlarge our understanding, our knowledge, the things that we need to help people with. He's out to enlarge that and establish that and do things for us that He can do with us. But we need to be thankful as we're going through it. We need to thank Him. Lord, thank You. Thank You. How about a home burn? I've never known too awful many, right off the top of my head now, that's had their home burned to the ground. But that would be devastating to anybody. You say, well, Brother Carl, now wait a minute, hold on here. I'm not wanting to find fault. I'm trying to stir us up this morning. Because we got a God in heaven that is wanting to take the church of God to deeper depths and higher heights. He's wanting to do things with us that He's never done before. And to do that, He's going to allow things to come our way. What about a car accident? I'm just wondering if I have been as thankful as I have been, should have been. Of course, I wasn't the one that was hurt the worst. There were three of us. Paige was the least. I was in the middle, and Molly was the worst. And I think the reason I didn't have what she had is the fact that I was totally out and I was just riding with her, whatever. They say that happens if you see a wreck or see something happen, you stiff up. And that's worse than just being limber. And I was just as limber as a rag, and I had no idea what was going on. What about loss of a job? Or maybe you can't get one. That'd be tough too, on the husbands. That'd be hard. But maybe He's trying to steer you into something else. Maybe He's trying to get you to a better job. So instead of moaning and groaning, maybe we ought to say, Lord, thank You very much. Am I where You want me to be? Am I doing what You want me to do? Is there something else You've got in mind? The Lord wants to do the best He can for you and I. Here's a tough one. What about somebody being against you? Have you had anybody against you? There had been people that had people against them. You know the scripture over there in Corinthians where it talks about, wasn't it Paul? And he had something going on. And he went to the Lord. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Well, if you read that from the top of where that starts, what I feel that was a false apostle that was giving him problems. That was giving him problems. It wasn't a sickness. It was a fact that a false person out there was trying to get him or do things to him, and it was causing him trouble. And he was coming to the Lord. And what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient. I got it, Paul. Here, I'll help you. That's tough to go through something like that. All right, let's go from another angle. What about somebody being blessed by a new car? How many of us had a new car lately? I hadn't had one in, it wasn't new when I bought it. Most every car I have bought has been used. Except one, and that was a number of years ago, and I bought a brand new regular size van. And I was able to do it and work with it. And I appreciated that. I thank the Lord. But what about somebody else? There was two ministers one time. This has been a number of years ago. I knew one, but I didn't know the other one. I know of him, but I didn't know him personally. And in that, he was One of them had one motor, one of them had one travel trailer, and the other one didn't. And so the one that had one, the Lord got to bless him. He got two. He bought a second one. And so the first one that didn't have any, he looked the situation over. And at first he was kind of tempted to be a little bit jealous. Little old me. But he told the wife, he said, we're going to go over there and we're going to rejoice with them. And we're going to be thankful for them, with them. They went. And the one that had two, give the one that had none one, and they both had one. He had the right attitude, see? He had the right idea. And I know it'd be hard if you had an old clunker, so to speak, and somebody right next door down the street or in the congregation come driving in a nice new car. That could be a little bit rough, and yours is barely running. Or maybe a pickup. Or a boat. Or a home. There have been ministers among us that the saints have bought cars for. That has never happened to me. Why? I don't know. I guess because I've always been, I've been connections where I could get the cars that I needed by the help of the Lord. But what they did, what the Lord did do in Shawnee for me is He helped me get the home that I have. And it wasn't given to me. I've made payments on it for years. But the bottom line is, there was a person in the congregation knew about the home that got us connected to everything we needed where we could get it at a very good price. And I felt like that was the Lord. Especially when the owner next door, it was her son. She had given her son the land. He had built the home. I called her and was talking to her about it. And she told me that this one wanted to buy it, and that one wanted to buy it, and this one wanted to buy it, and so forth. And I got off the phone. I was pretty blue, to say the least. But I went to my office, and I knelt down. And I just put it all on the altar. I said, Lord, it's your home. If you want me to have it, you're going to have to give it to me. And the day of the sale, the sheriff's sale, when we showed up, there was three other couples there. And I got to listen to everybody, and there were four pieces of property being sold. I got to talking to them. This one wanted that, and that one wanted that, and that one wanted that one. The only one left was mine, and I wanted it. And I still went and prayed some more. And then the Lord, He just kept on working until it was mine. And I appreciate that. I thank the Lord. I love my home. I love where I live. I'm up high. I can see for miles. I can see all the way down into Shawnee. But are we thankful enough? Are we thankful for everything that the Lord has given us? From the least to the biggest, so to speak. One time, I'd made a mistake. And I'd asked the Lord to forgive me. And I like to double check myself sometimes. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep and pain in my body. And I was in my recliner and I was talking to the Lord. And He spoke to me. And He said, what does the Bible teach you to do? I said, it says forgive. He said, I am the Spirit of forgiveness. I am the Spirit of forgiveness. In other words, He doesn't want to hold us for things. He wants to forgive us, but He wants us to approach Him in the right way. So Lord, help us to reach out to Him. Help us to reach out in thanksgiving and thank Him for everything. If you said it 1,000 times a day, it wouldn't be too many. He gave His life for you. How many other people has given their lives for you? There have been people that's done that down through the years, I've read. But the bottom line is, Jesus gave the supreme perfect sacrifice for our lives, for our salvation and sanctification, for the spiritual life that we have. He gave everything to do that. And He's the one that's sitting on the right hand of God, sitting there ready for you and I to approach Him and ask Him for help and needs and so forth. And He's right there. Are we thankful enough? Are we thankful enough when you approach Him? Do you come to Him with thanksgiving? The Lord wants us to approach Him in thanksgiving and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Let's see. Let's get back here to Colossians. Colossians 2, 6 through 9. Yeah, I'm getting the right page. It'll read right. Therefore, receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up, established in the faith, that as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. What does abounding mean? A lot. It means a lot. All right, and then Ephesians 5 and 20. I think that must be the one I'm wanting. Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. All right, let's finish up in Philippians. Philippians, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Be careful for nothing. In nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything. Entertain no worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. But by prayer and earnest pleading, together with thanksgiving, let your requests be unreservingly made known before God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then the fifth verse up here said, let your moderation be known unto all men. What does that mean? Let your forbearance, your considerateness, your humility, your forbearing spirit be plain to everyone. Let your reasonableness be recognized by everyone. Give proof to all of your courtesy. Have a reputation for gentleness. Let your magnanimity be manifest to all. Oh, today, are we too careful? So be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. And I know that can be a little bit rough at times. Certain things happen and you get a little anxious. You get a little worry, maybe. One brother that had a wife that was, if you listened to her talk in church, she was the most positive person. You'd think she never had a problem in the world. And he was helping me one time, and we were talking about that, and he said, Carl, my wife is the biggest worry wart. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. I said, she talks so... Well, Rebecca told me one time in church that she talked about a light bulb, and when she got through, it was wonderful, that little light was. And then other things that she'd say in testimony, but yet behind closed door with her husband, she worried about everything. Worried that things were going to get stolen. Worried about this and worried about that. The Lord wants us to put it all into His hands and let Him work. The Lord is at hand. He's near. Never forget the nearness of our Lord. Never forget the nearness. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Lord, help us to approach Him with a very thankful heart. Even if you had bread and water, even if you just had some old dried beans, even if you didn't have much at all to eat, there are people out there way worse off than we are. They're way worse off. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I appreciate your time and prayers. Pray for me.